Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yeah, his songwriting is almost very subtle, and then in some ways, right in your face.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Lenihan, I want to welcome you to this episode of our program. It's part two in our discussion of Little Feat with Kevin Clement. We're talking about the first two records. Now, we got through most of the first album yesterday, but there's a bit more conversation in part two. And then we're going to unwrap the shrink wrap and slap the second album on the turntable, Sailin' Shoes. So without further ado, we want to get right into that because I really appreciate all Kevin's work for this and coming up with the idea related tangentially to our second album syndrome series. So we'll file it under that for now. Well, I hope you're enjoying it. And here's another bit of talk from Kevin Clement and I. You're going to hear us begin talking about this record with a little bit of a chat about the cover, which is quite different from the other Little Feat records. So I have the big reel-to-reel threaded up over here, and I'm going to press play right now. When did you get into this one? Was this one that you came to, like, later?
This one was definitely later in the group. I had kind of gone forward from Dixie Chicken, and then went back and got the first two, so those were probably way later. I couldn't even tell you a time. I don't remember anymore, but it's been a while. But yeah, but it definitely wasn't, you know, at the time.
And it's funny for me, I knew, you know, like I was saying, I knew Little Feat from being on the radio. I knew the version of Willin from Sailin' Shoes. And then one day, I don't know when I came across this. I don't think I even really knew about this first Little Feat album. And I heard the version of Willin that's different. And I was like, I love this song. That version sounds like I could almost play it. You know, it seemed like much more simple to me without the solos and everything, of course. But, you know, to be able to play the basic chord structure. And it turns out it was. I sort of learned the song to play on guitar just to mess around with from this version. And the other thing I would note, too, is that the cover of this album doesn't look like, you know, what we're come to know about Little Feat. Because Little Feat worked with a very famous, not, I don't know how famous the artist is, but they're associated with Little Feat. It's like the guy who did the covers of the Yes albums. You know, it's like they have a certain look, right? And but this one is like a picture of a mural or something. I don't even know.
Yeah, so I have the information on that.
Okay.
It is a mural that's called Venice in the Snow. So it's a mural of the city of Venice, California, and it's done by the L.A. Fine Arts Squad in 1970. So the Fine Arts Squad was basically just a group of artists that was active in the 60s and 70s. Let's see. My handwriting is horrible, but I have the main two were Terry Schoonerhoven and Victor Henderson. So, and apparently it was them and a few other artists that just kind of put these murals together. So it doesn't say who originally did this one. Maybe it was a collaborative effort. I don't know. But yeah, it's a picture of a mural. So very different from the rest, which we'll get to when we start talking about Sailin' Shoes. So.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, I think I had seen this record maybe like in a record store, or, you know, maybe even you and I both being veterans of working at record stores, you know, we may have seen this thing, but I'd never associated it with Little Feat at the time. And it, like you, it was much later before I came back to this album. I think I had gone through most, I had learned, listened to most of the Captain Beat part before I even listened to this first Little Feat album. So, that's kind of shows you how, I think you said it best, Kevin, when we were talking about the blues song, like, it is Little Feat, but it's also kind of not, you know, yet somehow it fits in the catalog. And I think the more you learn about it, you can like kind of understand how, what it is, you know, as a starting point for the band. The thing I found really fascinating about this too, is that it was really, when it came out in 1971, it was really well reviewed. Like, the critics liked it a lot, but nobody bought it. The sales apparently were like really poor, right?
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't find anything about sales on honestly either of the first two albums.
Yeah. I mean, all I saw was one note that basically said it was a real flop for Warner Brothers Records, because it, you know, it didn't, nobody really bought it. But I mean, for 1971, it is a little bit out of step with it, with, you know, probably what was happening in the broader pop music world. There weren't any big, you know, hits, and those would kind of come later. But I don't know. I always thought, and I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this. There's, Lowell George always had this kind of sense of humor that I always really appreciated. It's a little bit offbeat, but, you know, his lyrics are really funny and very sly at the same time.
Definitely. And yeah, his songwriting is almost very subtle in some respects, and then in some ways right in your face. Sometimes you're not quite understanding what he's talking about, and the next time it's like, oh, okay, I got you.
Right.
It's like it just hits the nail right on the head. But then sometimes he's very vague and kind of mysterious, and that kind of brings some interesting, or makes it interesting anyway, the song.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, a couple other songs, there's Truck Stop Girl that's also, you know, like right in that vein that you just described, which I think you actually put it into words really well. and the other song, and you know, I think he can also write a song. And I think, you know, later in his career, you see the full flowering of this, maybe in the song Dixie Chicken or something else, where he's able to mix, you know, kind of his humor and also a song like I've Been the One, where it's just this really honest, like, you know, heartfelt kind of a song that's a killer love song that just kind of breaks your heart. And that kind of was there from the very beginning.
I've been the one who has been fragile and almost born away by the very thoughts that I feared yesterday. And it must be dust or smoke that's in my eyes. How can I cry about something? Someone I won't see. All my friends all say she had her chance. Let's go shoot some pool. You know a fool is just a fool. And I've tried everything that a whiskey cures, but the pain endures. And now I'm feeling that pain. I put my in my eye.
it's definitely the debut of a major talent, yeah, this album.
Definitely. And then it also, Brides of Jesus, that one is just, that one's,
yeah, a song. But that's a great song.
But it's a great song too. So it's like, you know, but then, yeah, like you say, you've got I've Been the One, which is just, you know, yeah, much more real, more serious kind of song too. So he can kind of do it all, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really amazing. So any other thoughts on the first album? I feel like we've covered it pretty well, but anything you want to say?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for the debut album. But yeah, I definitely would recommend people going to check it out, but I would recommend going to some of the other ones first and then maybe coming back to this one.
Well said. So that takes us into an album that's released, as you said, just 1 year later. Warner Brothers didn't, you know, lose faith in them because they didn't sell too many of the first album. And this is recorded, you know, about 10 or 12 months later and came out at the beginning of 1972. So take us into Sail and Shoes.
Yeah, this one was actually produced by Ted Templeman. And it produced a lot of really classic albums.
So, very famous, yeah.
Yeah, so, and it's just, as well as albums, you can kind of see the way the band is progressing. It's going more into that Southern rock vibe. On this one, on most of the songs anyway, they add a female backing vocal, and that kind of becomes their signature, to some degree. It really kind of brings their sound together. It just, there's something about it that just kind of just works. for lack of a better term, it just works.
Lady in a turban, a cocaine tree. Does it dance so rhythmically? She's crying and singing. Having a time. Gee, that cocaine tree look fine. You gotta put on your sailing shoes. Put on your sailing shoes. Everyone will start to cheer when you put on your sailing. Says he catch more fish every time. Well, I got a line, you got a pole. Well, I'll meet you at the fishing hole. You gotta put on your sailing shoes. Put on your sailing.
I mean, when you listen to these two side to side, and I did that last night, you feel like, wow, they've taken a massive step forward. But not only, I think, in maybe, I mean, you could argue, I guess, that the songs are just as strong, but the arrangements and the production gives it a whole another level, like a whole level of depth, and you hear that immediately. And I think it's the same four guys, right? We know that it's the same, you know, it's the same lineup. But then when you look a little bit deeper at the credits, I mean, all of a sudden there's saxophone that's being added. There's Hammond organ. You know, there's a lot of depth. And I think you made a great point about some of the backing vocals, too. That really make a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really adding to the sound and just kind of boosting it up and makes it even more enjoyable to me, especially.
Totally agree. Yeah. Where would you put this one kind of in the bigger Little Feet picture, Kevin, for you anyway, on your personal kind of.
Yeah, this one's definitely in my top three.
Yeah,
for sure.
Agree.
Yeah, out of they had 7-8 albums, something like that total. This is definitely in my top three. It's right up there, and it's just a really well put together album. You know, from start to finish, I think, you know, are there a couple of songs that are almost kind of filler? Maybe, but I think most of it is really, you know, some essential stuff that just kind of demands your attention. Some of these songs, they really just kind of break down the door to some degree.
That's a great way to say it, because I think there are some great songs. Like, I think the better songs on this record, you know, go way above what they had on their debut album. And I think, you know, there's a couple, like you said, that maybe are, you know, slightly kind of filler, but there are also songs on this record, right, that would become classic Little Feet songs that would be in their set, you know, for the rest of kind of the original band's time. Especially like Tripe Face Boogie is a song that fit in that. And also the leadoff track, Easy to Slip. When I was doing a little bit of research on this, it was wild that was covered by Bob Weir on his solo album in 1977, and also by the Black Crowes. Both of those, Bob Weir and the Black Crowes, both covered Easy to Slip, and I just found that kind of mind-blowing. And, you know, like I was saying, I'm looking now at the track list for Little Feet's very, really famous live album, Waiting for Columbus, and there's Tripe Face Boogie is here, Willin' is there, A Political Blues is there, Sailin' Shoes, so a lot of their foundational songs are on this album. It's kind of like they burst into life on this one.
Yeah, definitely.
Here's a question I wanted to ask you. I don't know, maybe you've hinted a little bit at it already when we were just talking about the first album, but do you see this version of Willing as either being better or you like it more than the one on the first album, or do you see them as like two different, like almost like an apples and oranges kind of thing?
More of an apples and oranges kind of thing.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want a more slick, just well put together song, then listen to the Willing from Sailing Shoes.
Yeah.
But if you want the rough, bluesy, ballsy version, then listen to the one on the original album.
Yes. I totally agree. I was hoping,
but they're both great.
Yes, that's what I think too. Yeah. And it's funny because it's like, it's not a case of them, I don't think, re-recording Willem because they didn't think they got it on the first one, because that's a great recording. Like you said, it's just they wanted to do something different with it. And
I think they were trying to make it maybe a little more commercial, maybe. I don't know. Like I said, I wasn't there. So.
I've been warped by the rain, driven by the snow. I'm drunk and dirty, don't you know? And I'm still willing. And I was out on the road late at night. I seen my pretty Alice in every headlight. Alice, Dallas Alice. And I've been from Tucson to Tucumcari, to Hatchapeetah, to Tonopah, driven every kind of rig that's ever been made, driven the back road so I wouldn't get weighed. And if you give me weed, white sand wine, and you show me a sign, I'll be willing to be moving. Been kicked by the wind, robbed by the sleet, had my head stoved in, but I'm still on my feet, and I'm still.
All right, folks, that's Willin' from the second Little Feat album, Sailin' Shoes, released in 1972 on Warner Brothers Records, and as we mentioned, produced by Ted Templeman. Definitely takes things to a different place than the first album did, for sure. And we didn't quite get into it in this conversation, but we'll get into it in the final part of the conversation to wrap it up tomorrow, about the album covers and how they became distinctive for Little Feat, starting with this record. But that is all in store for you tomorrow, so I hope you're enjoying the series, and we will bring you the final part of it on Friday. So thank you very much for listening, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow. It's a
Tripe Face Boogie is